appreciate you again being with us. We've had a great day of services. We've had one, two, three, four. This is the fifth one. We'll have a sixth one coming up next. One of our more popular services is starting to become that junior church in the morning and the puppet show. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Nancy News. She's going viral. The kids love those puppet shows. I make sure I watch them each week, and I'm getting a lot. I think we should start having our sermons in with puppets. I think that would be great. But I encourage you to make sure you have your kids there and invite, if you know someone with children, invite them to have them watch those also. When it comes, in my life, when it comes to life, you know, and especially my work here at the church, with the staff members and the various ministries, I like to track and do evaluations. I want to have measuring sticks to see how things are doing so that you can make necessary changes and make them better or make whatever you have to do to work on it, to strengthen it, even if it is doing well. By the way, we like measuring sticks in life too. One of the most important ones, ladies, you might want to hear me on this one, are that little round thing in your car that's a gas gauge. Okay? The E means empty. That means it doesn't have any more gas. I'm not the type of person that likes to run it to E, all right? When my car gets to a quarter of a tank, I get nervous. Not so much the daughters and my wife. My wife will drive in the car. I'm like, this thing's on E. She goes, nah, you got it. It's fine. You know, it's like when it points at your toes, that's when you know you need gas, okay? I don't do that. I remember one time we got one of the cars, and it was old Mercury, and it tells you how many miles you had left to empty. All the cars were gone from the house, and I had to run somewhere, and I turned it on, and it said miles to empty was zero. And I'm thinking, okay, it's running, so there must be a mistake. The gas station's only a half a mile away. I'm pretty sure I could get there. Guess what happened 3 blocks from the house? I didn't get there. And so I figured out who the last girl in my house was to drive it. And as I was sitting in the car on the side of the road, I gave her a call and talked to her for a few minutes about that. But there's gauges. They tell you. You measure up to see if you're short on something or how are you doing so that you can fill your gas tank or that you can make improvements where needed. By the way, we don't measure ourselves against others. That's comparison. And that just brings nothing but pride, or it brings discouragement, depending on how you look at it. We don't want to do that. One of the ways as Christians we are to measure ourselves is we measure ourselves against the truth of God's word. And if we're trying to line up our life with that, we're headed the right direction. But sometimes, if we're honest, we'll look at it and say, you know what? I'm not measuring up. And I want to look at that from someone's life tonight. The verses we read, I'm sure you understand. You're one of those that, like, you listen to the verses being read so you can try to figure out where I'm going. It's like, it's not brain surgery tonight, okay? There's not a whole lot in there. It's Jabez. We're going to talk about Jabez. I was thinking of making Brother Pichardo read verses 1 through 10. I made him read verse 8 there for context purposes, but he would have struggled if I would have had him read all that genealogy, okay? He might have quit or got sick all of a sudden. But these verses and this man, and not necessarily it's bad, but in the evangelical circles have been heavily commercialized, okay? The Prayer of Jabez, there's been books written on it. There's two verses here, and there's been a multitude of books written on this guy. And then there was a few years ago, there was a big promotional campaign. I don't get into this evangelical when they do these, you know, these big promotional campaigns and stuff and commercialization of it, but you know, that's fine. But there was a big promotional campaign about the Prayer of Jabez. There's been a lot said about this man when the scripture speaks very little about him, but I can understand why. Because the little bit that is spoken about him is very powerful and speaks well to this man and his character. Again, not much is said. What is said about Jabez in the Bible? We read it in those two verses. Now, there's also a town named Jabez, but this is the man, Jabez. His name means sorrow, or he causes pain. Probably a reference to the fact that as he was born, it caused great pain and sorrow to his mother. And I know what all you mothers are thinking, like, don't all kids do that? Probably to a greater extent. And so she gave him that name because of that pain. That was probably not, you know, the best thing to do. I think of the child Ichabod. If you know your Bibles, when Eli and his sons were killed, and then the daughter-in-law found out, and she's given birth, and she's dying in childbirth. Her husband died. Her father-in-law died. Her brother-in-law died. And she took it out on the kid and said, Ichabod, the glory, and the ark was taken. And it's like, Ichabod, the glory's departed. What a name to be stuck with. And this guy, he got a name, and that's what it means. But Jabez was honored. He had a great relationship with his God. By the way, all of us have an opportunity to have a great relationship with our God. The first several chapters of Chronicles are genealogies of who's related to who begat who. And there's reasons for that in the scripture, particularly for the children of Israel. And there's a purpose behind it, but there's not a lot of practicality to it. But think of it this way. In the midst of all those genealogies, God might stop and mention something about a certain man here or there, or a certain thing that would happen during their time. But in the midst of these genealogies, that's why I had Brother Pichardo read verse 8, not just to irritate him, although, you know, that was kind of fun too. But one of the reasons I did, I want you to see that's what's going on here. And then all of a sudden in the middle, God thinks it's important enough to stop in the middle of the genealogies and introduce us to this man, Jabez, and tell us everything we need to know about that man in these two verses. By the way, I wonder if God was writing scripture today, if our life would be lived in such a way that God would stop to point us out. That's kind of convicting when you think about that. Now, there are only two aspects of Jabez's life that are briefly mentioned in the scripture: the manner of his life and the message of his prayers. Now, I've got to be quite honest with you. I've read this scripture many, many, many times. No, I don't bypass Chronicles in my Bible reading. But I've read this many, many times. And I have thought much about Jabez. And maybe this is my fault and maybe I'm lame. I'm glad there's no one here to say amen. But I've never preached on it because I thought everybody else has. And I thought it's just kind of cliche to talk about the prayer of Jabez because everybody does. But as I read this passage over and over and over and over recently, I thought, you know what? There's some good truth in here. And this guy is a good measuring stick in those two areas to show us exactly where we are at in our Christian life. Because he was somebody to God. Not that we're not, but you know what I'm saying. God looked at this guy and said, you know what? In the midst of all these names, all that's going on, I need to stop and I need to point him out because there is something my people need to learn about his life. Now, in the context of evaluating ourselves, if we were to evaluate ourselves, who are we really as Christians? As a Christian, who are you really? What is your passions in life? What is it that's important to you? Where is your life really headed? What is the direction of your life? These are the kind of things we need to know. It's very important. By the way, it's not just what other people think. Although other people see you and see some of the things in your life can be a help to you. But on the other hand, sometimes we can hide ourselves also. But we need to really know who we are. Spiritually speaking, if you were honest with yourself, where are you at? What kind of Christian are you? I think we should evaluate ourselves regularly. Why? Because it's easy to get off track. The best of us can get off track. We get content. We may not like to admit that, but everything's going well, and we're just kind of put on autopilot. We kind of scale back and our relationship with God, although we've not completely ditched him. And it's so easy for that to happen. And it's easy to fool ourselves, to think everything's okay when we need to really stop and say, you know what? Everything is not okay. I need to work on some things. I think it's easy to tell what kind of person Jabez was from what God said about him. These two things that God said about him, talking about his manner of life and his message in prayer, is what I want to look at today. I think we can use these as measuring sticks to measure ourselves, to see where we're really at. These are two measuring sticks that we can use from his life to teach us where we are at, so we can strengthen our position if we are doing well, and maybe we need to change some things if we're not doing well. What are those two measuring sticks? Who we are as a person and what we ask for in prayer. Nothing will say more about who you are than those two things. The way you live your faith and the way you pray to God. And so we're going to look briefly at those two things. And as we do, I want us to measure ourselves to say, hey, where am I at? Do I have the kind? By the way, those two are going to go together. Because the power of his prayer was really built upon his position as a person. Who he was enabled God to work in his prayers. Those are always related. So let's look at those two measuring sticks. Number one, the measuring stick of our person. This is how we live our life. This is how we live our faith. Let's be honest enough to look at ourselves. To look at our daily actions, to look at what's important to us, to look at what we are as a Christian and how we act, and be honest about ourselves and measure ourselves up. What kind of person was Jabez? I know he is mostly known for his prayer. But I'll be honest with you, look at his life. It was pretty solid too. He was, first of all, a person who succeeded. It says in verse 9, if you'll look there, it says, and Jabez was more honorable. I like that word, more. Now, it's going to give a comparison in a minute. We'll get to that. But he was more honorable. It shows that he wasn't just content to slide by in his life. Jabez was somebody who wanted more. He wanted to be honorable. He wanted his life to have some type of distinction, which it did. We don't measure our life by those around us. We measure our life by God's word. How many people I've heard say, well, you know, I'm not a bad person. After all, I'm not an adulterer, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. Hey, we can always find someone in our life we can compare ourselves to. But I don't want to compare myself, because we can find people who in our mind we compare to more favorably. But to be honest with you, we compare ourselves to somebody else and we don't match up. There's only one thing that really matters in life. How do we match up to God's word? Are we comfortable with that? Or what do we want to succeed in the right area? He was honorable. That's a right kind of area that we should want to be successful in. Let's not look around. Let's look straight to the scripture of God. Success in any area of life is always tied to our obedience to the word of God. That's what Psalms 1 tells us, blessed is the man. And then he gives us the negatives, but then he tells us the positives. But his delight is in the law, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to have that kind of success? You got to be an honorable person whose life is trying to match up to the word of God. The same is repeated in Joshua. Joshua was going to war. God's trying to strengthen Joshua for a battle. Now that is spiritual in his sense, but we wouldn't see that as spiritual. But God just laid it out there. If you meditate on my word day and night, if you follow my word, you will be successful in any endeavor you do. He was a person who was successful. He also was a person who stood. Verse 9, he was more honorable than his brethren. In other words, this wasn't some type of pride thing. You know, my GPA is better than yours, or I made more money than you, or I did more of this than you. That's not the type of thing. And the thing that was really important in life, being honorable, he was far above his brethren. In other words, he stood out, not in a prideful way. He just happened to stand out because he lived righteously. And by the way, righteous people will stand out. He was willing to be different. Look, we are living a time when people just want to follow the crowd. That is the big thing in Christianity, and I think it's nonsense. We don't want to be different. We want to be just like everybody else. And I'm not saying we're trying to be different to put a downer on people, but if we live the Word of God, we are going to be different. And that's very important. Most people are what I call, and I didn't get this, this is not original, sheeple. Whatever's happening, bah, they follow it. Well, this person does it, and I thought I heard this, and I'm just going to, we don't know how to stand because we, look, if you know the truth of God's worth and you try to live it, you're going to have to stand up. You are going to stand out in the midst of a crowd. The puppet show was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wasn't hard for them to stand out because they were the only ones not bowing down. Daniel, it wasn't hard for him to stand out because everybody else was foregoing prayer except to Darius. By the way, he could have hit it too. He went to his room. He's doing whatever he, all he do is cover the windows. He's like, no. This is how I do it, and if they don't like it, I'm willing to pay the consequence. Stand out. Live in such a way that people know you're a Christian. You say, how do I know if I'm standing out as a Christian? Do people recognize it? Not because you jump up on a table at work and call everybody wicked. That's ridiculous. But they just watch your life. And they see that when other people at work are late, you're on time. Of course, nobody has to worry about that now, okay? You know, when everybody else is being lazy, you're just quietly doing your job. When they're all laughing and cussing or do whatever it is, you're not in on that. They'll know you're different. Not because you yelled it out, but because they noticed it in your life. He's a person who stood. By the way, it's not popular. One of the things that disturbs me about what's going on in our country right now is how some of the states and some of the, they're putting specific laws on churches that they're not putting on other places. That's a dangerous place to be. And it's not a coincidence. But you know what? Doesn't shock me. Christianity has never really been popular. And we still have more freedoms than anybody else in this world. So he's a person who stood out in a right way. And lastly, as we look at our life, he's a person who soared. Look at the continuation of verse 9. And his mother called his name Jabez, as I mentioned, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Just walking around in life. That's the one who caused pain to his mother. Okay? That's the one. That's something you have to overcome. In the culture there, a name was very important in the Bible culture, kind of defined a person. It could define their future. Maybe Jabez's mom was, I don't know, it was like, man, he's causing me pain to start. I wonder what's going to happen as he goes forward. I don't know. But it wasn't a good name to have. But I'll say this, he wasn't defined by his name. He lived above that. You know, so often we get stuck in the past. So often we hinder what we do for God and we find reasons and ways to excuse it. When you excuse something to get to be stuck where you're at, you're only hurting yourself. You can overcome things. Well, you know, I was born into a dysfunctional family. Okay, and so was everybody else. Okay, you're born into a dysfunctional world, you know. And so we struggle. Well, I grew up in poverty. Poverty doesn't define who you are. How you relate to your God defines who you are. I didn't have a spiritual upbringing. Get in line. Why should that stop us? See, what we want to do is look at our weaknesses or God forbid, our sins of the past, and we want to let those hold us down when God says, hey, you're a new person in Christ. Get over that. Go forward. I can do all things through Christ. My spirit lives inside of you. But we find. I have flaws in my character. And that's not a personal testimony, although I do. But, you know, we all have flaws. But what the problem is, why do we just say, well, you know, that's just how I am. But that's not what God wants. He wants to transform everything about you. If you say, I'm just stuck, you don't have to be stuck. God can do great things in your life. You don't have to be stuck to anything. So Jabez was this person. And he was a good person, which led him to the second measuring stick, the measuring stick of our prayers. Now, the measuring stick of our life is vitally important to see where we're at. But I'll tell you what, if you really want a measuring stick of who you are as a Christian, let me look at your prayer life. That tells me a lot. A lot. And it tells us a lot about ourselves in two areas. How much do we pray? But more specifically for tonight, although that's important, what exactly do we pray for? You see, what we pray for says a lot about us as a Christian. Very important. Now, before we get into this, we understand that we can pray because of our relationship with God. Jabez mentioned he prayed to the God of Israel. That was his that was his God. We're saved now, and we are in the family of God. So we pray out of our relationship with God. What did Jesus say on the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven. How can we go to God and even pray? And by the way, Satan will always tell you, you know, prayer is hard. And it kind of is, but it's not as hard as we think it is. Well, it's daunting. And by the way, it is daunting to talk to the God of heaven. It really is. And I just don't feel like I match up. Neither do I. I don't measure up to that. Neither do I. But you know what? Our Father, which art in heaven. He's a great God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. And for reasons I can never comprehend in this life, he actually wants to hear from me. Now, as we go to him, what are we asking him to do? Let's measure ourselves up against Jabez and what he asked for. Look at verse 10. His measuring stick of prayer, first it was a prayer for blessing. Verse 10, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, we talk much about the blessing of God. But I wonder how much we really want the blessing of God. Because typically when we speak about the blessing of God, we're thinking about things. You know, God bless me, I got a raise at work. By the way, that's God's blessing. Don't forget, you know, I got a stimulus check. I feel all stimulated. That's great, I'm glad. God's blessing. You know, I'm having another child. That's God's blessing. Until they turn about 7 or 8, or start to walk, depending. That's but there's more to God's blessing. You see, he wanted God's blessing because he was in a right place in his life with God. And if you want God's blessing, the kind of blessing we want from God ought to be, Lord, what do you want me to have? That's where we get stuck. You see, what we want is we want to tell God exactly what to give us, and then when God gives us those exact things that we want, even if it's not necessarily what he would want for us, but we have to have, then that's God's blessing. No, it was just, God, bless me. Now he's going to mention some things. He wanted his blessings abundantly. By the way, that's a good thing. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do. We could stop right there and throw a fit. But I like the exceedingly. That's good too. He can do, but he can do exceedingly. But then he's like, no, that's not a good enough description. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. It's like, I'm not an English major, but we're just throwing a bunch of extra words there. Okay? And that's good. And then it's above. So he does exceeding and exceeding abundantly above. I want in on this. All that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God just blesses us. Now, what blessings do we want in our life? Here's the blessings I want in my life. Now, there's things, yes, I pray for. And there's things, yes, I want you to take care of me, and I want you to take care of our family, and I want you to take care of our church, and I want you to use us to do something. Yes, all those things. But you know what I say, God, whatever blessings you have, what do you have for us? What do you have for us? Trust that God will bless you in the way that he sees fit. By the way, he's more apt to answer that prayer. Lord, bless me. I want a Maserati. Okay, you probably couldn't afford the insurance payments. But God bless me. Blessing is always tied to God's will. And if we're not willing to follow God's will, do you know that God has a really hard time blessing us? Because a lot of the blessing we get from God is a result of following his will. So if we're willing to follow God's will and be obedient, we can ask for blessing. And God would bless us by his grace, not that we deserve it. But then there's a prayer for broadening. Verse continue. And enlarge my coast. As I've read and studied this, most don't believe as I don't. It's talking just about some increase of a plot of land. I think he's talking about influence. God, broaden what's going on in my life. Broaden me. He's asking that God would give him maybe more influence and opportunity to honor him. Is that what we really want? See, because most of the time when we want God to broaden us, we want God to broaden us with financial things. We want God to broaden us with things that are the wealth of this world. But do we want God to broaden us with things that we can use to honor and glorify him in this life? I can think of a lot of spiritual ingredients that I need broadening in, and I'm pretty sure you do too. I think we need an increase in wisdom. The Bible tells us to pray for that. I think we need an increase in love. Say, I love people, but we can love people more. We need an increase in understanding. What is God trying to say? What is God trying to do? I don't mean to be convicting here, but we need an increase in the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Okay. Joy. I'm in. Peace. Okay. Long-suffering. That's usually where we start checking out. Gentleness. Meekness. All those things that are difficult. But you know, God can give us that. We need an increase in compassion. The fact that he wanted to be enlarged means he was not content with where he was at in his service for God. You know, the line of people who are coming to God asking for more influence to help others and honor him is really short. It's a lot shorter than the line to get toilet paper. Short. Because most people don't want to come to God for those reasons. They want to be enlarged for their own personal gain, not for influence and honor for God. Is that really the prayer of your life? I mean, God wants us to ask for things. That's what the word prayer means, ask. But it might be nice if we ask for things that God was interested in. It might be nice if we ask for spiritual things that accomplish spiritual goals. Is that how you pray? Could it be the reason we don't want God to enlarge us is because we don't want to be stretched in what we are doing from him? See, we get content with what we're doing for God and we don't want to step up to another level. Many of you, you're content to come to church when we're here. You know, God might want you to be a Sunday school teacher. I could never do that. You come to church and you're okay with sitting. You know, maybe God wants you to get out on a bus route. I could never do that. I remember, maybe I was wrong and maybe this is just, God has a sense of humor, but I'd see pastors sometimes and I'd pray like, Lord, he has such a load on his plate. And then I think, not in a bad way, but I'm glad I don't have that. I wouldn't want that. It is what it is. I used to like, as I mentioned, you know, they come in and ask for counsel. I'm going to kill my wife. She's going to kill me. And the kids are killing us too. What do you think I should do? I'm like, I think you should go talk to Pastor Esposito. I think he wants to talk to you about that. Can't do that anymore. Now the assistant pastors do that to me, okay? But you say, I can't do this. You know, do you know you can do more than you think you can? God could really use you. Would you pray for God to do that? Or are you content not to? Because see, your measuring stick of prayer says, you know what? I don't want to pray that. Maybe we're not measuring up. There's also a prayer for bonding. He says, and that thy hand bite me with me. What do you mean? A bonding that in everything he did, God's hand would be with him. You know, use that phrase, the hand of God is on that. Could also say, the Lord is with us. His hand would be an extension of God's hand, and God's hand would be extended by his. God would be working in his life and leading him and guiding him and with him every step of the way. You see, when the Lord's with us, everything we do will be blessed, going back to the first part of the prayer, because we're doing what he wants to be done. I think of Joseph. Joseph was a prime example. In Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was prosperous even in a bad situation. You know why? God was with him. Verse 3 of Genesis 39 says, the master saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Everything he did, God prospered it, and it was noticeable to others. Verse 21 of the same chapter says, But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Verse 23 again, the Lord was with Joseph and the Lord made everything he did to prosper. Listen, God was with him every step of the way. The reason we want God with us is that spiritual life is not separated from every other aspect of our life. And I want you to think about that for a minute. We need God with us because every aspect of our spiritual life is not separated from our regular or secular life. See, what we try to do? We try to parse them up. Well, here's what I am when I'm at church. Oh, but at work? Church is church. Work is work. Church is church. Family is family. Church is church, but my time is my time. A person like that doesn't want God with them, because the things we do and the places we go, we'd be embarrassed to have God there. But God wants to be with us. We are a spiritual being, no matter how you handle it. And we have to have God with us. It's funny, everybody likes that. And I'm just not a real emotional type person, so maybe that's why, you know, the poetry with footprints in the sand. And I know a lot of you like it, okay, and I'm not against it, you know. And there was two sets of footprints, and we're walking in the sand, the Lord and me, and I'm like, Lord, I'm mad because, you know, during the hard times, I noticed there was only one set of footprints. Where were you? Because I carried you. We like that when it comes to comfort. But, you know, we don't like footprints in the sand when it comes to conviction. Hey, why are you walking on the beach in the first place? That girl's not dressed right. Anyhow, okay, now I'm messing with you. We don't like that. We want God with us because I'm going through a tough time. But if God's with us, he'll give us comfort. But you know, there's times God's going to convict us. Like, hey, what are you doing? What was that all about? Do we really want God with us? Because that's a measuring stick. If you wouldn't pray for that. By the way, there's nothing to fear with this. Okay. Next, a prayer for boundaries. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. He wanted a boundary of protection from evil and sin. Now, evil sometimes is caused as a result of our own sin. And sometimes evil comes our way as a result of others. But you know, even when evil comes a lot of times as a result of others, that's because of the way we're living in sin. But he says, I need that boundary there. Really, this is what, you know, the Lord's prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. By the way, is that, I got to ask you, is that really what you want in your life? Okay, let me meddle for a few minutes and we'll get out here in a couple minutes. We're sloppy in our Christianity. That's why we don't pray this. We're sloppy in the way we live. We're sloppy in the things we do. We put ourselves in compromising situations. Some of you couples, when you're over here and you're checking up on your old boyfriends, or you're too close to someone at work of the opposite gender. And God doesn't need you to lead you into temptation. You led yourself into temptation. Okay? Why don't we pray, God, help me with this? You know, and then we get mad when things go bad. I heard a great illustration. You know, a pastor was there, and a man came to his office and said, I'm mad at God. I prayed for God to not let me commit adultery, and I fell, and I committed adultery. I'm mad at God. Why didn't he stop me? And he started talking. The guy goes, well, yeah, of course I went out to lunch with this lady at work. And the pastor did this. Now, I'm not going to do it with my Bible. He took a book. He goes, okay, let me show you how this works. He goes, Lord, please don't let this book fall off the table. Lord, don't let the book fall off the table. Lord, don't let this book fall off the table. He goes, I'm mad at God. He let the book fall off the table. He goes, no, I was pushing it. See, we get ourselves in trouble. I ask for God to help me, but yet we're going to the same places. We're doing the same thing. We're being sloppy in our life, and we're going to pay for it. And let me just say this, since I met some of you singles, need to be careful. You're getting too sloppy in your relationships. See, God sets out points for us. Don't commit fornication. That's the cliff. That's the book off the table. Okay, here's what most of you are doing. How close can I get to this thing? You know, we're just holding hands. We're just hugging. We're just touching. By the way, flee youthful lust. How do you flee youthful lust? Don't touch. You're being old school. I know if you don't touch, you're not going to fornicate. I just thought I'd throw that out there because I think some of you might be confused as to how I feel about that. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. And that's in the context of it's better to marry than to burn. Okay? Be careful. And you can just take any type of sin. What we do is we push ourselves to see how close we can get to it, saying, well, that's not necessarily, you're pushing the envelope. And once the ball starts going downhill, it's a lot harder to stop. God wants to put a boundary up. Hey, this is the cliff. Pray for Lord, don't keep me from, deliver me from evil. Okay, what Bible principles are you going to learn to develop a conviction or offense to keep you from evil? That's a message for another day, but I thought I'd just throw it out there. Okay, but, and why? And why is that important? Let's go to the next part of the prayer. Prayer for bypassing, that it may not grieve me. Because he knew if he gave in to evil or evil comes his way and he sins, it's going to cause grief. And it causes grief not just to himself, it can cause grief to others. Now, let me just say something. Would you pray for these things? So I never pray for that because I'm kind of, that's a measuring stick. Maybe that's why this guy, in the middle of all these people begatting everybody else, God just stops and says, hey, Jabez. Like Job, Satan comes in one day, or Satan comes to God one day, and God goes, hey, Satan didn't even ask. He goes, have you considered my servant Job? That guy is just like top notch. I'm translating here. Why? Because he had some things in his life that were pretty good. So does Jabez. Oh, we all like the marketing, you know, Jabez, I want some bland blessing. No, I want the kind of blessing that comes because I really love God and I want to live for him. I want the kind of enlargement that comes not for personal gain, so that I can be a witness for God, so that I can honor God with my life. I want God with me. I want God to walk with me, and I'm not ashamed where I'm going, and I want God to be with me everywhere I'm at. We want God in the bad times, but do we want God when we go to the bad places? I want boundaries, Lord. I want to be careful. I don't want to be sloppy in my Christianity. Lord, I want to be delivered from evil. And by the way, if we get into evil, God can help us if we're trying to do the right thing. But if we're not trying to do the right thing, can I just tell you, that's going to be a boundary with a gaping hole. And then bypassing. You know what? The older I get, one of the good things, and by the way, our people in our church are great, but one of the good things over the years about being a Christian and counseling with people is I am thankful for my life. And I don't mean that as a negative when people are struggling, because I was there a long, long, long time ago. I was there. But I'm thankful there's some things I've tried to put in my life, so I bypass some of this. And I hope it's the same for you. You say, but I've already experienced some of these things. Let's go back to the first point. You don't have to be like that anymore. God can change you. Maybe if you pray like this. Hey, let's not be sloppy in our Christianity. I hope during this whole quarantine, whatever you want to call it, you're growing closer to God. But can I just tell you something? Please don't let it get your life to be sloppy. Sloppy. Let's be what God wants us to be. I want God to be with me. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not always, I wonder sometimes like why he'd want to even be around me. But you know what? I want to see God do something. What about you today? Can you measure yourself up? Say, how am I really spiritual? Look at his life, and that was in there, but look really at your prayer life, because that's going to tell you who you are. You say, if I spend time in my Bible, but I really don't pray. I heard the best illustration of that when I was in Bible college. I don't even know who it was. Someone was preaching, and he said, reading your Bible without praying is like a bird flying with one wing. It's just going to go in circles as it goes down. Let's really have the kind of prayer where we're open and honest with God, and we want to have the kind of life that matches so God can do the things we pray for because it lines up with who we are. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. Lord, these are little verses, and I'm sorry that I've avoided them for so long in preaching on them. I've read them often. I've thought of it often. But Father, I pray that you'd help each of us to look at ourselves tonight. Lord, where are we at? Father, are we measuring up in the right way? Now, I understand, Lord, none of us match up completely. I understand that. We all have a long way to go. But I pray we would be open and honest enough to look at our life where we're at and say, Lord, this is where I need to improve. And Lord, I pray there's people here under my voice that says, I could never pray for that because that's not the way I want my life to be. Lord, that we would take you at your word and we would love you enough to make our life a life that seeks to bring honor and glory to you so we can pray in such a way that matches up with your desires for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.